Well, good morning, Peninsula Hope family. I hope you guys are doing well in what is, I think, our seventh or eighth week of sheltering in place. It's amazing that we are coming near the end of our second month of sheltering in place. And, you know, I've noticed some changes in the way that people are acting. And so we are going to be starting a new sermon series called Dealing with How You're Feeling. And we're going to be dealing with different issues that have been coming up as we have been sheltering in place with family members, you know, with roommates, different things like that. And so let me open us up in some prayer. Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to watch over us. Holy Spirit, guide us in our interactions with one another. Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to interact well with one another. Lord Jesus, to connect with friends and family, Lord, to be supporting each other during this season. And we pray this in your name. Amen. As I mentioned today, we are going to start a new series. And as I have been talking with people and kind of seeing where people are at, I've started to see this change over the last couple of weeks. Whereas when we started sheltering in place, I think that adrenaline, just the newness of what we were doing and these changes help people to adjust to the different ways that they have had to live their lives, for all of us, how we've had to live our lives. But what I've noticed over the last couple of weeks is that newness and that adrenaline has worn off and people are starting to act differently. According to the American Psychological Association, there is a spectrum of emotions and strain right now, and it will evolve. The further you are from engaging with others and feeling a connection, the more of an impact it will have. The APA listed a range of emotions people are expected to have right now: fear and anxiety, depression and boredom, anger, frustration, or irritability. But there is another aspect or another way that our emotions are being affected, and that is because it's not just our relationships with people outside and remaining connected with them. Sheltering in place is having a significant impact on close proximity relationships. Maybe it's your spouse, your children, maybe it's a roommate. There's all kinds of relationships where now people are having to live together 24/7. I was reading an article and it said that quarantining together is a magnifying glass on the relationship. And I was reading another article and this newspaper organization had people in the community submit their stories of quarantining together. And I want to share a few of those with you. I remember hearing one about a young professional who was quarantining at home with their parents. And it was so interesting that they were doing work on Zoom in the exact same place that in high school they were studying from. And they were missing their friends, and they also described just kind of the challenges of parents going into protective mode. And now this young adult, even though they are a adult making their own choices and living on their own, now being back at home, their parents were treating them like a little kid. Another spouse mentioned this. She said that she snapped at her husband for not closing the kitchen cupboard or cutting cheese with the jelly knife. Or she found herself just angry and frustrated at her husband because he had basically lived out his entire day in a tracksuit. He didn't change, and that really frustrated her. And there were stories about people that have been so obsessed with COVID-19 and the coverage on the news. One individual said, "I'll be watching something entertaining, reading a book or listening to music, and my roommate will shout, 'Did you hear this?' and proceed to tell me the latest infection rates or death toll. I'm feeling tremendous anxiety from the fear of the virus, but even more from my roommate's obsession with this." And all of these stories, they come from the challenges and the changes that we all as a world have had to deal with since we've been sheltering in place. Things like our work and private life balance changing. Our boundaries have been completely obliterated. We're living our entire lives in confined spaces. People have new roles. Parents are now teachers and daycare providers. We've had to adjust our schedules to when we're all using the internet and different Zoom meetings that we have. There's a lack of freedom that people are feeling, and they're feeling highly restricted. There's limited choices. There's only so many things that you can do to have fun, so many things you can do for exercise. And basic activities, they are taking so much longer than they did earlier in the year. Things like shopping may take a couple hours. Ordering something on Amazon may take weeks. We're going through so many changes and challenges. And this is causing us to be impatient with one another. We're less tolerant. We're overly sensitive. We're reactive, grouchy, and we're becoming angry. There's a story in the Bible that I think is a really great example of this, and it's about two sisters, Mary and Martha. And this story comes from Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, typically, when pastors preach this passage, we focus on choices, and it's being there at Jesus' side, listening to him, or getting caught up in the busyness of preparations. But I want to look at this passage a little differently today. I want to take a look at Martha's reaction to some challenges and changes that were forced upon her. Most people, we get stressed out if on short notice we have to clean our house or if we have to prepare a meal for people. It stresses us out and it can affect us in the way that we act. But now imagine that Jesus was your guest. And he was going to be preaching and teaching something really important. You would probably have this heightened level of anxiety and stress that you were going through because of that change. And on top of this, the person that would normally be helping you, your sister, well, she's doing something different as well. She's at the feet of Jesus. Now here's the thing about what Mary was doing is normally being at the foot of a rabbi and listening to their teaching. This was something that was reserved for men. So this was another change in what was going on that was forced upon Martha. And so Martha is getting irritated and frustrated. She complains to Jesus and she says, "Jesus, are you going to do something about this?" And Jesus does, but he doesn't do what Martha's expecting. Jesus uses this as a time for teaching. He uses this as an opportunity to teach and show something to Martha. So for all of us, we need to do the same thing. When we find ourselves as we're sheltering in place, getting frustrated, getting irritable, getting angry, we need to take a look at Jesus and learn something from him. And a great lesson that we learn from Jesus can be seen in the way that he lived. Now it's important as I get into this to understand that although Jesus is God, he is 100% divine. Jesus is also 100% human. Hebrews 2 verses 17 through 18 says, "For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. What this means is Jesus felt and experienced all of the feelings and emotions that we have. So we're going to take a look at how Jesus dealt with this. And he did it in two different situations or two different ways. And the first thing that Jesus did, the first way that he dealt with these frustrations, is he took some preventative measures. Mark 1:35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." So Jesus found some Jesus time, some me time, a solitary, quiet place, and he prayed. Luke 5:16 says, "Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." So Jesus took this quiet time wherever it was, and he prayed, and he did this often. Now, the second thing that Jesus did, this was more how he dealt with those times when he did react, because again, Jesus was 100% human and he did get frustrated sometimes. Luke 9:37 through 44 says, "The next day when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, 'Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child.' A spirit seizes him and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men." So when Jesus did get frustrated at the unbelief of this generation, he communicated and explained himself. Now it's important, this is something Emily, who's a counselor, she reminded me to share with you all, is that the way that we communicate is as important as what we communicate. So even though Jesus got frustrated and he called out the disciples and basically this generation for their unbelief, later on, when things were maybe a bit more calm and he said, "Listen to me," and he explained things. And we need to do that. So when you find yourself getting heated, getting emotional, being irritated by someone, explain yourself, talk to them. Try to remain calm and explain to them why this thing is frustrating you. That's the biggest difference that you can make, is the way that you share what you're feeling. So what we see is Jesus, he dealt with his emotions, with his anger, frustration, irritability, in both a spiritual way and a practical. Spiritually, he took that time to pray and seek God. And so for all of you, that means finding somewhere in your house that you can find a little bit of you time, reading the word and praying. Honestly, this might sound kind of silly, but if you have a closet, go to the closet, close the door, turn on the light, and pray. It may be one of the most amazing experiences you have, because you're shutting yourself off to the world for that few minutes or however long you have to seek God. But there's also some practical things that you can do. Set a schedule for yourself. I've heard a lot of people tell me, you know, days are just running together. Sometimes they're sheltering in place and they're just at home and they don't know when morning is and when night is. It's so hard to tell. So set yourself a schedule. And maybe every now and then you might have a little vacation day. That's okay. But get up in the morning, get dressed just like you would every single day. Get outside daily, move around, find some different creative ways to work out. Quarantine the internet. Sometimes our worst enemy is the internet. We're being bombarded by all of this information, and we can eat up so much time in the day. So take some time out and quarantine yourself from the internet. Actively take some time to see what parts of your identity, you know, have been threatened by these changes. It's great to understand yourself and acknowledge what you're feeling and what you're going through. Discuss your boundaries and your needs in your living spaces. I think this is so important. If you don't take out time, you know, or take time to say, you know, I need this to be the home office and you need that to be the home office, or kids, you need to stay there during this part of the day. When you don't do that, your entire life, work and everything, it collides. And even the smallest things, like that lady that was upset at her husband for the way he put on jelly, it becomes a frustration. So set up some work and life boundaries. Allow yourself to grieve the changes. I shared with you guys last week that we had to cancel our trip to Colorado, and I had to acknowledge that that hurt. It made me sad. I had to grieve that because it's a reality. I don't want to dwell there, but I have to understand that's something that is affecting me. So I encourage all of you to do that as well. And understand that it is okay to be anxious, to have some stress. There's nothing wrong with that. It is a normal thing. But you have to acknowledge that and admit it to yourself. And then just take some time and do some breathing exercise. Try to calm yourself down. Breathe in, breathe out, and relax. Slow things down for yourself. So before I pray, I just want to encourage you this week that if you find yourself at that point where you're angry, irritated, frustrated, do what Jesus did. Be sure you're taking some time for yourself, and then communicate with those people that you're getting a little short with, that you're getting a little frustrated with, and do it calmly. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you so much, Lord, and I pray that we will be able to learn from you and how you interacted with your community, Lord, with your disciples. I pray that we would learn your truth in our interactions with others. Lord, I pray for the needs of all of our church family here, for our personal family, for our friends, Lord, and everything that people are going through. Lord Jesus, we pray your Holy Spirit show up in an amazing way in people's lives, Lord. We pray this all in your name. Amen. We love you guys. We'll see you soon. God bless.